You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, their ZDX is the most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
I'm Dane Lobb. I'm a public safety specialist with PG&E. If you're in your home or business and you smell gas, your first step is to get out. Travel to a safe distance until you can't smell the gas anymore, and then call 911. The first responders will come out and they'll make it safe for you and your community.
Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast with me, Robbie Musto, and him, Robbie Earle. And we're going to react to the big games in the Premier League this Sunday involving Arsenal, Everton and Liverpool. We also want to welcome in viewers on Facebook Live. We'll take some questions later in the show.
Yeah, but what we want, Rob, is people to rate and review our podcast. They can do that by going to iTunes and find the shows on Apple Podcasts. And as I say, leave us a rate and review. But more importantly, let us know who's the team you support and the reasons why. We asked this question last week and we got some great responses. I'm going to read out just a couple of them. We've got Podcast Commenter, who said he loves our podcast, but the team he supports is Manchester United because Chicharito and Rooney were his favourite partnership. And although they've gone, he can't switch teams now. That would be immoral.
This is a good one from B. Wim here, and he actually picked a pretty good team, Rob. He says here, my friends made me pick a team at the beginning of last year, so with no loyalty and little knowledge, I picked Chelsea. And my goodness, as Antonio Conte's passion just infectious. He is by far the best reason to support the Blues.
And I've got one from SoCal Mac, M-A-C-N, who says, great show, boys. But he says, I became a Manchester United fan during the dark days pre-NBC. He grew up playing soccer, and he knew of Ronaldo from the 2002 World Cup, the original Ronaldo. Was playing FIFA at one of his friend's house, came across a team, came across a player called Ronaldo. It was Manchester United. He was hooked, and he convinced his parents to buy Fox Soccer Channel, and now he's been supporting Manchester United for 13 years. So those were some of the best
Very
ones.
Good.
Make sure you rate me, viewers, and let us know this week. Now, Rob, let's get down to the football. Let's get down to a big Sunday of football. Started at the Emirates. Arsenal having a stroll, I would say, at the Emirates against newly promoted Brighton.
Yeah, I mean, it was 2-0 and it was very, very easy. I guess the question people might ask is when they're seeing all the kind of the so-called bigger clubs now smashing teams, really, four and fives. Yeah. Was this an opportunity, and we'll get on to Brighton, for Arsenal to rack up more goals? Should they have taken that opportunity more seriously, or was it the sort of game where it was so easy, they almost like, we can win this in second gear?
I thought they were in cruise control. The first goal was always going to be the most important. It wasn't a thing of beauty, Monreal, after a couple of scuffles. The second goal was much better, came later in the game. But I just felt as though Arsenal always knew they were winning. It was never in doubt.
But should they have gone for more? Because
they played in Europe on the Thursday night. You know, it's a team together that's starting to mould. Alexis Sanchez getting back to full form. I don't think I can argue with what Arsenal did and be too critical. They won the game. No real drama. Brighton didn't give them any real problems. And as I say, in cruise control, they strolled to a 2-0 win and get the 3 points. And they're on a bit of decent form now, Rob. I think that's four straight clean sheets for them.
Yeah, they've bounced back well from those defeats, back-to-back defeats in August. Just a little angle for you. Alex Iwobi started the game on that right side front line where Ozil would play.
Yeah,
he's got his goal today. I mean, there's other players that can play there as well. Iwobi, how impressed, and does he keep Ozil out the side for a little while?
No. Mesut Ozil is a different level to Alex Iwobi.
Isn't Iwobi a harder worker?
Well,
he's got more of an eye for goal.
Yeah, but you're asking me the question. A fit and focused Mesut Ozil with Alexis Sanchez and Alexander Lacazette is a grade A.
When's the last time you think Ozil's been focused?
Well, I'm saying when he's focused. I'm not saying he comes back into the team and runs in. But if you're telling me what's the best front line for Arsenal Football Club...
Yeah, what is it?
Mesut Ozil, Alexis Sanchez and Alexander Lacazette is a top three. And he's a top three that could go anywhere in the league and cause you problems.
I think that's what the Arsenal fans want to see. And there's frustrations over the last couple of weekends that that's not been the case. Mm. And we know that Ozil's been resting a little bit of an injury there. Anything else that gave you any cause for concern? We've talked about how good they've been in terms of bouncing back, and they're on a run now. Mm. And they're a good squad of players. Yeah. They're going to be in and around the top four. Anything that...
only worry, and it wasn't any kind of threat today, is the balance of the midfield two with Xhaka and Aaron Ramsey, who were the two holding midfield players. Aaron Ramsey,
you have to play
on a leash. So he doesn't hold. So one person, Granit Xhaka, I think, A, it's a big job, and two, I'm not sure if he's up to it. That worries me against other big boys when he's got to get across the pitch side to side.
I like Elneny at the moment.
Mm, he played in the Europa League.
Didn't start today, but I would sooner have him than Granit Xhaka in midfield. Now, I'm not sure that's going to happen because the money they paid for Xhaka in there as well.
But money, that shouldn't have a bearing, should it? If Elneny's the guy, you play him, don't you?
Well, yeah. Well, if Iwobi's the guy, you play him as well then.
Yeah, I'm saying. But I think Ozil is a better player than Iwobi. That's why I'd play Ozil. If I think Elneny's a better player than Xhaka, I'd play Elneny.
Let's switch it to Brighton, if you're ready to. And
Good old Brighton.
It sounded a little harsh today, maybe, my reaction to the way that they played. Because through the game, we're hearing through the commentators, you know, fantastic story with Brighton. All the fans there, they're clapping off Chris Hughton, and they lost 2-0. We're still clapping them off at the end of the game. I was disappointed that there wasn't more effort, there wasn't more passion, there wasn't more determination.
It was miserable.
Yeah, it was a bit miserable, because it's like... do something to affect the game. They sat back. The shape was very, very good, but they never did anything to hurt Arsenal. I mean, am I wrong?
No. I just said that the result was never in doubt, which I think it tells you everything about what Brighton did. Brighton went there to make it difficult. We get that. They went there to park the bus in some respects, the term. So two banks of four, a four and a five in front. But, Rob, you've got to have some threat. You've got to at least make the opposition feel as though you've got a chance of scoring. It was almost as though Brighton went there just saying, we'll just sit back and see what happens.
You just said they went there to make it difficult for Arsenal. Yeah. They didn't make it difficult.
Well, they slowed the goals down.
They're incredibly deep, by the way.
Chris Hughton said after the game, I can take the positives from that.
Listen, the only positive for me is that it wasn't 4-5 And, you know, and just looking at them on a bigger picture of Brighton, and I think we both had them for relegation at the start of the season. Now, that's not to say that I haven't been impressed with some of the work they've done. And Solly March, we really, really like. And Anthony Knockhart didn't start today. He's got some personal problems.
Yeah. Pascal Gross.
That's the three players. Yeah. Now, they're technical players, okay? So, if Brighton are going to stay up, they've got to play a technical style with a bit more expansive, a little bit more Bournemouth. Mm. They can't grind it, can they? They play really deep.
But are they good enough at this level to play technically the style you're playing?
Well, that's the players that's been brought in by Brighton. Correct. Why play any other way?
Well, what I'm saying is Solly March going to be able to have an influence on big games on a regular basis, 38 games? Is Pascal Gross going to keep that assists and goal record going against other teams? Because if it isn't, then you've got to find another way of getting results.
Yeah, and I still struggle. Even though their start's been okay, I still struggle to see where the goals are going to come from. Glenn Murray, they had a striker issue today with suspensions
Baldock
and injuries. Baldock's not fit yet, but he's back in training apparently. And Hamid suspended.
Yeah, three games,
today.
Isn't he?
Murray came on and was close with a header.
Yeah, didn't have a bad go.
But that's about it. And it still worries me that they won't get enough goals, even though some of their football might be pretty good.
Do you know what I'm thinking with Brighton? You've got till Christmas. Can you hang in, keep nicking points till Christmas? You might have to go and spend some money. You might have to go and gamble in the second half of finding a goal scorer, whether it's from abroad, whether it's getting one from another Premier League team, or taking somebody out of the Championship. Find a goal scorer to give yourself a chance.
Let's move it on, because we've talked enough about them, and it wasn't. I got a bit frustrated watching that game. It wasn't a great game.
It was early. I knew you were grumpy.
I was a bit grumpy.
Anyway,
let's move on to something that's got us both a little bit fired up. Everton.
Can we talk Burnley first? Can we give a little bit of credit to Burnley?
Go on then.
Sean Dyche, at the start of the season, a certain pundit not too far away from me said, Burnley will go down. Look who these are. They've lost Andre Gray. They've lost Michael Keane. Yeah, they've lost goals. Yeah, they'll go down.
Yeah.
Sean Dyche has got a plan. He knows what he's doing.
I think there's a couple of teams in the Premier League that for some reason, I can't quite see why they're so good. right? And I think...
Is this what you call a backhandy compliment?
Yeah. I'm admitting I'm wrong, but it's like with Spurs again. I'm like, you know what? I don't think they're going to finish in the top four. I don't even know why.
What?
I don't.
What?
I mean, the Wembley thing, and they I could be right, but they probably proved me wrong. Burnley, with those signings, and Chris Wood coming in from Leeds United, and I'm like, really? Is it that much better? But again... They're better than what I expected. Yeah. And I'm wrong, and I hold my hands up right now. It's a long season. There's 31 games left.
You're scratching. They ain't going down. Beaten Everton. Beaten Chelsea away.
Amazing.
Drew with Spurs. Drew with Liverpool.
Amazing.
We know that this Sean Dyche has got a plan. He's upgraded his players. He's got them set up. They get the right balance between defending as a group, breaking with counter-attack, Jeff Hendricks sitting in a hole. Chris Woods looks a player, by the way. Chris Woods could be this year's Troy Deeney.
Calm down.
Could be this year's Troy Deeney.
When you say he looks 50, like a player, what do you mean?
I mean that
see a big guy that's good in the air, that runs around a little bit, hasn't got a lot of pace.
He hasn't got a lot of skill.
But he's useful.
He's running behind people today. He's Jamie Vardy.
He's not Jamie Vardy. What are you talking about?
He's a good finisher.
What, Jamie Vardy when Jamie's about 55 years old?
He got 27 goals in the Championship last season.
I don't care about the Championship.
You don't care about
Jamie Vardy.
He can get in behind people. He's got a good eye for goal. Robbie Musto, this guy can do all right. I tell you,
he's all right. And I'm it's a bad time for me to criticize Burnley and any of their players. But that's the interesting part. And I just think we've given them credit.
Yeah,
but let's move on to Everton.
It's a big story this Everton. You know, just before the break, it's a big story Everton in the form they're in.
Well. How to attack this? I mean, first of all, we've given a lot of credit to Ronald Koeman.
Yeah.
He has done a very good job in his early time at the football club. There's a lot of excitement about the transfers and the signings. And this goal, in fact, the last couple of games has been a bit of a struggle. Mm. This game in the Europa League on Thursday against Limassol with a strong Everton side, they struggled to play well.
Yeah.
The manager said they looked frightened to pass the ball forward. And we know what it's like to play with your home fans anxious and almost waiting for a moment to boo a backward ball and it's a horrible environment to play in. I didn't expect it to be as bad as what we experienced
today
at Goodison Park.
Yeah.
Really difficult for those players to play.
It was, but to a point, you know, part of me is saying, okay, I'm going to find out about Ron Koeman because I think he's a very good coach.
So do I.
I've seen his teams at Southampton set up play well. I've seen him last year at Everton have a team that played a number of styles and played well. Now he's got a test on. He spent up nearly $200 million. He's bought players that he wants. He got players in that he wants. He's got a decent squad of players. And they're now sitting fifth bottom from the table. When I thought at this stage in the season, they might be fifth top. That was what the expectation was. Now,
I can offer a defence.
Yeah, but just let me talk about the toxic thing first, because we all have been in that, where I would explain it as these times you get the ball in that situation when things aren't going well, and you just think of safety. How can I keep the ball safe? How am I not going to give it away?
I don't want to be the one that they're booing.
Right, correct. But Ronald Koeman has to coach and give confidence to his team to get out of this. A manager has a big influence in this. What you do in training, how you work with the players.
I don't know if I can agree with you, Rob. I think what you're asking him to coach confidence. That's really hard.
Coach confidence. But change the feel around in the dressing room, around the football club.
Isn't that hard when you're not playing well, the results aren't great?
That's why you're the manager. That's why you're paid millions of dollars a year. Because if you can only do it when things are going all right, then me and you could go and be
I would sooner see it in a slightly different way.
Go on.
I want to see him coach his team to enable better football, to get the results and the performances that's going to get them confident. It's going to get the fans. So I want it from the manager, of course, but in a slightly different way.
Okay.
I think it's really hard to say, we should be confident. You're a great player.
No, I'm not saying it's as simple as that. No, I'm not. But he has to change. He's the guy who's running the football club.
He's the leader.
He's got to change it. I know you want to go to give maybe some reasons why the problems. If I go first and you can come back in, I'm going to talk to you about Michael Keane, who's one of the players I believe he talked about have been a little bit maybe taken aback at the size of the club and what it takes playing at a club like Everton. Yes, we'll give him times with seven games in. Gylfi Sigurdsson is an outstanding footballer who's looked a pale shadow of the guy we've seen at Swansea. Sandro Ramirez up front has not looked the centre forward yet that they wanted. It still looks to me like there's a gap. So there's a number of players. Ashley Williams looks like he's put on half a stone and doesn't look like the
half a stone.
6 pounds. Looks like he's not the player that he was at Swansea. So a number of choices that the manager's made at the moment don't look good. Now, I'm not saying in another 7 games we might be back to that's more like it. But what I'm saying is the manager's made some choices, and as we stand, some of those choices don't look that great.
Okay, and we're going to overlap a little bit here. But I think there's not a perfect storm, but I think there's ingredients to this scenario that's not that surprising. First 6 league games, they've played Man City, Chelsea, Man United and Spurs. Yep. Really good sides. They've got lots of new players. Some new players need time to settle. Klaassen's not settled. Sandro, Sigurdsson, Vlasic has done okay. You've got lots of young players now, Rob, being integrated into this first team squad. Ademar Lookman, Vlasic again, Calvert-Lewin. Sandro's young. Holgate, Tom Davis is 19 years of age. And you've had a lot of injuries. Again, I could list off 4 or 5 injuries. Now, and maybe the biggest one of all, Romelu Lukaku, one of Europe's best strikers, left the football club with no direct replacement. You throw that into the mix, and maybe it's not surprising that things have been difficult. I would say right now, Everton fans, be patient, try and stick together, because I believe in the manager and I do believe in some of those signings. He's clutching at straws a little bit for a performance and for somebody to do something well. That's why Niasse played today, because at least he didn't look out of confidence because he's been scoring.
Cool. So my retort. I've got 3 areas of retort. First, the team that he picks today. Under pressure, talked about needing a fresh team, talked about picking his best 11. Yeah, Wayne Rooney wasn't on the pitch.
Yeah.
Wayne Rooney's not on the pitch. Tom Davis not on the pitch. Interesting decision. Yeah. That's his decision.
No. I can't argue that.
That's
can't
point
argue.
One.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Point two, you're selling Romelu Lukaku. In the end, you're selling him for good money. You get the Lukaku money and about $120 million on top of that. You know you've got to replace his goals. Go and do it. You don't get a centre forward in.
They went with general new players all around the squad.
Okay, so point three, you talk about the teams they've played. Burnley Football Club have played Chelsea away, Liverpool away, Tottenham away, Everton away, won 2 games, drawn the other 2, sit in 6th place in the league when Everton sit in 16th place in the league. That would be my argument against.
Can I retort that retort?
A double retort, in you go.
Right, so Burnley a lot more settled. A lot less new players to integrate into the team. Not an issue with young players being first team starters right now. It's pretty much the same team as what we've seen over the last year or so that Sean Dyche has been expertly.
Most people would have said wouldn't be good enough.
I know, expertly been improving the squad. So, listen, the truth is probably somewhere between
in
our
the middle,
arguments.
Yeah.
But in Ronald Koeman, you've been critical there.
I have been critical.
I mean, are we talking time here?
I want to see this guy.
What?
I want to see this guy.
Do you put
him
under pressure?
I want to see
immediate pressure.
I want to see this guy been given time. But it's interesting, Rob, because he had the press conference after the game today, and a reporter asked him, the million-dollar question, are you still the right man for this job?
Yeah, but I don't answer about this type of questions because that is not the business at this moment.
But the questions are going to keep coming, and it's horrible for him. But when you perform like that at home, which was a shadow of what we'd expect from any Ronald Koeman team and this Everton side, those questions, when the results don't come, are going to keep coming, Rob. And now it's that horrible international break.
Yeah.
They've got like 2 weeks to
Carlos Ancelotti's
around. Some of the players are going to go off on international football. They've got to get it back on track quickly.
Somebody tweeted to us on our Twitter feed and actually said, Roberto Martinez got sacked for a very similar set of results. He hasn't got an awful lot of time.
I just think it's getting crazy. This is the first...
In terms of you're the owner now of Everton Football Club, you've gone 7 games, you've got an international break. When are you starting to get concerned? At what point are we...
If Everton slip into the bottom 3 and we're getting in towards kind of November time, It's got to get really ugly for me to
really,
consider.
Really, I mean, that's really, really ugly. Isn't it? I mean, Everton are not going to get relegated. So, no. So you're saying a bottom three spot at
if
November.
They're in and around the bottom three in November, yeah. Then, wow, this is set in. I mean, again, the other little thing we don't know is, and it's hard for us to know that here, yeah. Is anything around the club, yeah, anything what's, different, yeah, what's yeah, going on, things, yeah. What's the players'
these outside influences,
and we can't, it's hard to kind of read
yeah,
that,
I got you.
But I'm sticking with him. I'm sticking with yeah, him, I'm, unless listen, they have an absolute disaster, and it's really horrible.
I'm with you, and I hope he can coach his way out of things, because he's been an excellent coach, yep. But there's going to be still at Goodison for this season. Let's move it to St James's Park, big game up there, 50,000 as you would expect, Newcastle hosting Liverpool. Rafa getting a love in from everybody. And then we got down to the business of the football. And what did you learn from this one, Rob?
I learned that Newcastle are good. And I learned that Rafa Benitez is the real deal, if you didn't already know that. And, you know, I've said it a few times now that I wanted to see Rafa Benitez coach a team that's actually not that good. The squad isn't that good. It's not that many changes from the Championship side. But isn't it nice to see a Newcastle United side at St James's Park that the fans are enjoying?
Yeah, yeah.
And that it's not people leaving the stadium with half an hour to go and booing.
Yeah, chucking
so
the season
I like the team. I like Matt Ritchie. I like Ayoze Perez, Christian Atsu. They've got a little bit of pace, a little bit of quality. And a special mention for your mate, who you've given a little bit of a hard time a few times.
Where John Joe goes, drama follows.
John Joe Shelby has got talent.
He had drama today, but the good kind of drama.
Yeah.
He got on the ball, he made them.
He's a good
player,
isn't
he?
He's a good player.
He made Jordan Henderson look a bit robotic today.
Yeah.
He passed balls and he linked play in a way that you thought, you know what, that's what Liverpool bought when they bought this kid.
And a big shout from Rafa Benitez to play him. Liverpool have got three really good players in the middle of the park.
He dropped Hayden, didn't he?
He dropped Hayden and played with just two. And one of those was Jonjo Shelvey that can go a little bit missing defensively, and he can be a bit of a loose cannon, as you said. So, 4 marks to Rafa Benitez, 4 marks to Jonjo Shelvey, and the ball through for the goal was
magnificent.
Magnificent.
Absolutely magnificent. Just on Newcastle, before we get to Liverpool, so obviously Liverpool's the biggest story at the moment. Goal scoring for Liverpool Football Club.
Yeah.
We've got Dwight Gayle. I keep calling him Dwight Gayle up front. We've got Mitrovic, just come back from suspension. And we've got Joselu, who started the game. Three now for Joselu, got one off his shin today. So that's 3 goals in total. Are they a decent goal scorer away from being mid-table with the rest of what they've got?
They are, but that's spinning it in a positive way. If they got a goal scorer, they could do really well. In a negative way, it could mean they struggle. It could, couldn't it? I mean, they've got Jamal. They defensively, they're very good. They've got some good individuals. Lascelles is excelling. He's doing really well.
And the coach, Yedlin, by the way, Yedlin played
really well, really well. And you're seeing and a maturity from learning off a great defensive coach.
Correct.
In terms of covering positions. He doesn't really impressed with...
It's a benefit to the US national team as well. They're going to get a better defender.
He should be starting a right back for the US men's national team. I mean, he's really coming on great. But back to the goal scorers, that's going to be a problem. That's going to be a problem. Can they be as well organised and as thorough and as... There's some last-ditch tackles today as well to help today with the result. So even though we're giving a lot of credit to Newcastle United, I can see future issues because of the goal scoring situation.
Okay. Team who don't usually have a problem with goal scoring was Liverpool. Coutinho got a thing of beauty today. And then Liverpool gave away a scuffy goal. But again, created a lot of chances. Didn't put them away enough to have the game safe. Is this becoming a problem for Jurgen Klopp? Because he's talked about, I mean, the two issues with Liverpool are creating lots of chances, not finishing them off to kill a game, and then giving things away at the other end. Was this almost a mirror of Liverpool's season, today's game?
Well, certainly how they are at the moment. I mean, 1 win in 7 all competitions, no clean sheets in those 7 all competitions. So there's issues there defensively. We kind of differed a little bit, I think, on the goal.
Yeah.
You were very critical of the two centre-backs for Liverpool.
I'll make my point.
I am normally that guy, but I was just in awe of the ball from Jonjo Shelvey to look up and to slot it through there. I don't think those two players are ready for it. Maybe they should have been. And then the goal scoring. Let's talk about Daniel Sturridge. And I've never... No, that's not the right way of saying it.
Daniel Dance, be careful.
In Jurgen Klopp's time there, he's done nothing really to tell Jurgen Klopp, I should be your striker, and you're number nine. I think he feels that he's not his preferred choice. He got his start today, Rob, which was an opportunity to make sure he's... give himself a shot of being the main guy. He missed some chances.
He did. And we caught it a couple of times on the camera and we spoke about it, that every time he missed a chance or something didn't go, his head, first of all, went to the side of the pitch where his coach was. And it just feels a bit strange. Like, why do you need that?
It's a little bit of sign of insecurity,
yeah,
isn't it?
And also, I think that he probably knows the manager doesn't really fancy him. And so when he's missing chances and he sees the manager's body language and maybe talking to the coaches, he's probably feeling as though, you know, I'm not really his guy. Listen, we'll have to see how that one all pans out. It was an opportunity for him to score goals. I think we're getting to the stage where when Firmino's fit and probably playing better, we're talking about Firmino, Salah, Mane and Coutinho being the attacking threat. And at the moment, you know, Daniel Sturridge is like the fifth Beatle. He's sitting on the outside.
Just defensively, because they've had a lot of criticism, and they didn't give up that many chances today. Maybe through their control, and maybe Newcastle were a little bit defensive at times. Joe Gomez at right back.
Yeah.
How do you think he did? And he had a lot of touches of the ball, by the way.
Yeah. He's decent, can get forward. I think he's got to work on his end product. I think his quality of ball into the box and his touching around the last third is still a little bit heavy. He's a younger player. Bizarrely, Robbie Musto, I wouldn't mind seeing him at centre back.
Yeah.
I think with his pace,
he can play there. I mean,
in his power.
Instead of
Dejan Lovren.
What about the news about him with reports coming out the last couple of days that he has to take painkillers, he can't train at the moment, he's got Achilles issues, he's got lower back issues. I'm wondering
why that came out. If I'm in the football club, I wouldn't want it out unless there's some kind of sympathy vote that's been hoped around. My problem with Dejan Lovren, and it goes with Matip as well, and I know you talked about the goal, Rob. There's two issues that I've seen, and I asked one of our researchers to look at which team's committing the most fouls or fouls in games. Liverpool is one of the least. I think they were third least of the teams. They don't tactically foul and slow games down at times. My second point is, and today's goal might not been the best example, but there's moments in games when Liverpool defenders are standing with their mouth open watching the team attack. The moment the ball changes hands, I want to have a siren in the stadium. I'd turn a siren on, I'd have flashing lights, I want them to think, danger. The opposition have got the ball, we've got to start thinking about where the opportunity might come from.
Doesn't that mean, though, that Jurgen Klopp changes his philosophy a little bit? And
he has
says,
to.
You know what?
Once the ball turns over, we've got to change.
Bit, you know, we got to get Coutinho to come back.
Yeah. Maybe they drop the line a little bit. They don't play quite so high.
Back.
Yeah, they get bodies behind and they slow
but
the game down.
That takes away from what they've been strong at with Klopp, with some of the movement, some of the attacking
but
play.
But are they going to win the league or get success doing what they're doing? That's a big question. Because if they're not, then we've got to start thinking about what are the little adaptations we have to make to the
just to kind of summarise where they are right now, Rob. They're still only a point or two off of the top spots. So even though they've had this bad run...
And they've got outstanding... They can do the things... The Coutinho goal is a piece of footballing brilliance. They can produce those moments.
Yeah.
But on the other end, Rob, they can give the cheap goals away. They can do the hardest thing in the game, but they struggle to do with some of the simplest.
They finished in the top four last year.
Yeah.
Salah's come in as a new player. Coutinho stayed at the football club. Mm. Can they do that again? I know Kyle Martino, our good buddy, of course, is very strong on Liverpool this year and thinks that they can mount a serious title challenge.
No.
Anything
not for me.
Nothing's
changed. 2 years ago.
And
the
other clubs getting better.
Yeah.
They're gonna struggle for top four. I didn't have them in as my top four. Are you concerned now that could become a reality with given this?
Of course.
Listen,
and we're just before we just start for the next big game that comes after the international break is Liverpool v Manchester United.
Yeah.
Now, could you get two more managers with different approaches about what's important and attention to detail? Manchester United are sitting second in the table. Have kept 6 clean sheets out of 7. Conceded 2 goals in one game against Stoke and are scoring goals for fun. 21 goals, I think now. Because this guy demands that you defend. I think Jurgen Klopp hoped. I think his tactic is hope. I hope we defend okay.
Yeah, and his tactic is more like, I want to do it like Pep.
Yeah. And they're not there yet, Rob. Yeah. They are not there
yet. And that's
hard.
And that's really hard. And, you know, his style, Right now, Man City, a 10 out of 10. Absolutely fantastic. But over the course of a season, that pragmatic, strong, defence-first attitude often wins the day and wins the title.
It's a shame, isn't it, the international week's coming? Because the league's just bubbling. The league's just bubbling up with all these stories. But you've heard from us. Now we want to hear from you, our listeners. Firstly, we'd like you to rate and review our shows. You can do that by going to the Two Robbies on Apple Podcasts. Tell us what you like and where we can improve. But more importantly, we want to know why you support the team you do. Was it one match, one player, or was it a visit to the area? We want to know why you support that team. Let us know. We'll read the best two or three out in our next podcast coming up. So, I'm Robbie Earle. He's Robbie Musto. Together with the Two Robbies, thanks for listening and bye for now.
Want to earn extra cash for the holidays? Amazon Flex is expanding in the San Francisco Bay Area. Opportunities in Richmond, Oakland, and Daly City. Earn around $20 to $27 an hour delivering packages with Amazon. All you need is a car, a smartphone, and some free time. This is a great opportunity to be your own boss, deliver when you want, and make extra money. With Amazon Flex, you'll have flexible hours and great earnings. To get started, download the app at flex.amazon.com. That's flex.amazon.com. You must be at least 21 years old. Limited opportunities available. Get started at flex.amazon.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.